Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for your relentless and undying love for us. God, we pray for your presence. God, we pray that we would find you to be sweet and God, that you would be bread to us and you would nourish us by your Spirit. God, you would cleanse us from our sins. Would you restore us and reconnect us to you and to one another? We just pray, that, Lord, that you would do a mighty work of repentance today. Just have your way, God. May your word be a light, God, in the darkest places of our hearts. God, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we continue in our Sermon on the Mount. So we're to that place in our prayer. This is so important that, in some sense, he summarizes the prayer and he talks it about again. He doesn't talk about the other prayers, but he talks about this again. At the end of the Lord's Prayer, so saying this is how you should pray. So for many of us, and so for those who might be new, this is a Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7, and it's about kingdom building. It's about understanding the nature of the kingdom and the people of the kingdom and the desire of God for us to build the kingdom, meaning build relationships together in oneness with God and with one another. And so the Lord's Prayer is laser focused on that. And so you get to see today and also next week as God reiterates this at the end of the Lord's Prayer, but also weaves this throughout his sermons, the parables, and I hope for many of us, I would say this is so foundational to the understanding of the gospel. Without a conviction in this area, you're not a Christian. And that's exactly how Jesus frames it in Scripture. And we're talking about forgiveness and understanding forgiveness. It may be the most important sermon you would have ever heard. And it is the reason why Christianity is so unique. And if we open our eyes, everything in creation is telling us about this. I study other religions, and every religion is about you and your part in a deeper relationship with God, reaching nirvana, you know, being released from this karma and reincarnation, or just, I hope I make it to heaven. And it's up to you. And I hope that we begin to understand this idea of forgiveness. And the world is shaped or developed in a way so that God did this, so we could understand what it is. So let's read the Lord's Prayer and then dive into this part. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive, as we also have forgiven our debtors. So sin is phrased here as debt and deliberately so. And it's not just here. It's elsewhere in Scripture. You know, even the idea that Jesus is our redeemer or our ransom, a payment for sin, this it all comes with this idea of debt, which is really what we're going to talk about. But we got to understand what debt is. Debt is the imbalance of justice. And so back in the old days, when money was metal. They used to weigh money. You would have this scale and with the standard weight, what it should be, and then you would add your money, your gold or whatever, and the weight would have to, you know, measure up. And if you had a dishonest scale, you would have then a dishonest standard. And so, but you're trying to get that balance. And so you hear people talk about your debt to society. Like if you're a criminal, you have a debt to society. So you are what? Punished. You have to pay for your debt. And that's why, you know, we say that when you owe, right, the government money or anybody money, that you are what? Forgiven your debt. Understand this. God created money primarily so we could understand forgiveness. Wow. Is that? Would that even be? Yeah. If you believe in the gospel and you believe if Jesus is using the term debt, monetary systems are in place primarily so that we could understand the gospel. And you can't understand the gospel if you can't understand forgiveness, and you will not know the difference between Christianity and all the other religions, why it is the only way, the only life, and the only truth for salvation. It is the essence of life. What I'm saying is, every day from the moment you wake up, you're creating imbalance. You know how the Chinese calls that, right? Not secular Chinese, even traditional folk religious Chinese. They call that imbalance, right? Of yin and yang, right? And Tao, right, is the idea, or Taoism or Taoism is the idea. Tao means the way, is to try to find balance. And Tai Chi, you're trying to bring things in balance through movements. Feng Shui is the idea of trying to find balance in the way you decorate. But you're scratching at the surface. Every day, from the moment you wake up, you're creating imbalance. Or somebody is creating imbalance with you, or you are creating an imbalance with them. Every day. And the debt just keeps mounting. And guess who's the greatest cause of debt? Believe it or not, they're not strangers. The greatest cause of debt are your loved ones, your children, your spouse, people who love you, debt against you, and you debt against them more than anybody else. This is why the gospel cannot work unless it is true to its claim that they, or that God, have given us the currency of that. And that's the second part of this sermon. Love is the currency of debt. So let's talk about debt from a biblical perspective. Because every day you're trying to find balance. You'll stop serving if you feel that imbalance is too great. You'll start grumbling. I've done the dishes 10 times, you know? They don't lift a finger. Why do I always have to clean up the house? You feel the imbalance. You think you're doing more than they are, and you can't live with it. And nobody and no religion will offer any solution other than Christ. That's why we believe in the words of Jesus Christ. Every day you have to forgive somebody. When you serve, you feel... And so what happens when you serve too much without a biblical understanding of debt? You'll begin to feel entitled. Seriously. You serve your husband, you serve the church, you serve your wife, you serve your children. You are going to. It is natural to feel entitled to to get something back from them to correct this imbalance. The thing about, you know, this idea, it just came to light for me talking to a secular friend of mine. He has absolutely no... When people ask him to do something, you know what he explicitly say? Behind closed doors, what are you going to do for me? I know you're new here, right? There is not going to be no debt here. He's more honest than any Christian I've ever met. He just won't do it. You know why many of you don't like to, you know, sometimes serve? You don't like that feeling. And you also think, if I don't owe anybody else, right? Like, you also don't like to be served. Because if nobody owes you anything, you don't have to owe them back. This is a problem. Right? This is a problem. All right, let's dive in. Romans 3:23-26. For all have sinned, means all have this debt, okay, and fall short of the glory of God. If you understand what sin is, this makes perfectly sense. We all have this incredible debt, and we can't pay it back. And the secular people will say, well, you just declare bankruptcy. You know what I'm saying? Well, I can't pay it back, so might as well not. Well, that would not be, you can't just forgive debt. If you do, you will not be just. Why do you think Lady Justice holds a balance? Who do you think gave, whoever made that up, the idea? And exactly uses this term. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified, that means balanced, right? By his grace as a gift. It says you can't do it on your own. And if you feel like, you know, you gotta feel the debt. Many people come to Christ thinking they're not that bad. You know how you know you think you're not that bad? Because when other people treat you and cause debt, you want payment. You don't want just apology. You want a wonderful apology. Getting on their knees, sobbing. Because, you know, a regular apology, that's like a $5 payment. Okay, you need a $10,000 payment worth of apologies. You want them to come back 10,000 times. But that's not your debt. And we're going to talk about this. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, Jesus paid that debt. We've all fallen short, so Jesus pays that debt. Whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. So we go and we receive that payment, right? And thus canceling the debt. This was to show God's what? Righteousness. That word in Greek is also the same word for justice. There's another word for justice, but this is also the word. So when you say God is righteous, that means he is just. Nobody's getting away with nothing. Because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins, it was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be, what? Just. And the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. You became a Christian because you said, I can't ever pay you back. And my debt is ginormous. Ginormous. That means your debt to God is so unimaginably great that he had to send his only beloved son to suffer and die in the most excruciating way. His most beloved treasure, he poured out heaven's bank that he might justify you. That is what he did. If you don't get from that, that my debt was great. And how do you know you don't get it? Because you're so easily offended when other people dead against you. Even your own children. Even your own spouse. Colossians 2:13. And you who were dead in your trespass and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. And here's why I'm saying that sin is used as debt, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. You know, you can never tire of reminding yourself of the greatness of that debt. Because when you make much of that debt, you make much of the nails on the cross for that debt. If you minimize your debt every time somebody debt against you, that's the Lord's prayer. You're making much of his payment when you have to pay somebody else's payment. Romans 12:19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written. This is a repeat in a verse in Deuteronomy. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You know what that means? That means you see this in Korean dramas a lot more. It's so visual. Every time I see it, right? I'm like, wow, I hope people understand, okay? Like, more about debt. Like, if you owe somebody, right? Like, the debt collectors, you know what they come with these stickers, right? They barge into your house, and they start putting stickers on your furniture, on your TV. You know what they're saying? That's not yours. That's not yours. When I was in the military, when one of my soldiers, right, got into debt at the PX, that's like the department store on base, I will get these later, these letters from AFES, which is the department store name, right? And they would write me like, Private Snuffy, you know, bought like the most amazing stereo system, a system that he couldn't pay. Now I need you to do something about it. I hated that job because I felt like, why is a department store giving credit to a bunch of 18-year-olds knowing, you know, they don't even have credit? You know why they do it? Because they're relying on me to be the debt collector, and how do I do the debt collection? It's called garnishment. Let's go to the next slide. Here's the definition of garnishment. A court order directing that money or property of a third party, usually wages paid by an employer, be seized to satisfy a debt owed by a debtor to a plaintiff creditor. In short, anything that anybody owes you belongs to God. That's what that verse means. Let's go back. When God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, that's not your debt. That's not your debt. You've been offended? I'm sorry. Okay? That's not your debt. That is not your debt. God is executing his right for all payments in the future. Now, a lot of Christians don't like that. Oh, you know, that sounds so conditional. Why is that unconditional? You have a great debt, and he paid it all. right? Like a soldier who goes and buys all this equipment. Because I tell the soldier, you go buy all this equipment, you go buy your Lincoln Navigator, right? Your Cadillac Escalade, they have nicer cars than I did. You go and buy all that, and you can't pay it? Oh, it's going to get paid. So don't get it. But you know what they do? They get it. And then what do I have to do? I have to go and collect. Because that's not his debt. That wage is not his wage. You hear what I'm saying? That wage is not his wage because he already has a debt. Now, I need you to put your arms around that because God has taken ownership of all your future debts. So if you are giving somebody the silent treatment, if you are somehow slightly and, you know, in subtle ways, giving them the cold shoulder, not being as nice as all you can be, you haven't turned that debt over. You have not turned that over. You are, you know what you're doing? You're playing God. You are playing God. That is not your debt. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and what? Just. Does that make sense to you? We think that if we confess our sins, he is merciful to forgive us our sins. Wouldn't that make better sense to you? Right? No. God says, here's the thing. God's not like that. See, when we don't like this, it's like we don't have a problem with the person. We really have a problem with God. See, we serve a just God. If God could do this, he would not have to empty the bank of heaven, his most prized treasure, send him down to suffer and die if he could just, let's forget it. Hey, forget about it. Forget about it. We'll talk a little bit more about what it means to be generous and kind in this regard. God is just. He doesn't just do, right? Just forget about it. You know what? You only killed one person, other people have killed more. Forget about it, right? You killed 10 people, right? And on your escape route, you know, you're running away from the law, you see a burning building, you go save 10 babies, ha! I'm good now. You're not good. You still owe God. Right? You don't balance that. All right, let's read. Continue. He is faithful and just. Just to forgive. That means he did something. There was payment. There was payment. Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You know what that means? That means every time somebody debt against you and you take offense and you want to be God and execute the debt, we're saying we didn't sin that much. You're saying we didn't sin that much. Not like that person. I'm not as bad as that guy. Here's the thing. We have absolutely no entitlement before the cross of Jesus Christ. It's hard to believe that all your sins add up to more than what other people are sinning against you for. It's hard to imagine that. It's called sin. It's called the flesh. It will never imagine that. God has to open your eyes. And when he does, and you see the gravity of your sins that nail Jesus to the cross, that's the beginning of Christianity. Let's talk about the currency of forgiveness, love. Luke 7:41 to 43 says this. This is what Jesus says in a parable. He asks the question.
A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." If you're not a generous, loving person, you have no understanding of debt. You don't. Let me say it another way. The mercy of God creates affection. Your mercy towards your wife creates affection. Your mercy towards your husband creates affection. It's just a law. If you have nothing to be merciful about because you do your thing, I do my thing, and you keep a healthy distance, you're not in a loving relationship. You can't do oneness without every day forgiving debt. And you're like, "But you don't understand. I give. He takes. Why do you think Jesus said, "Oh, you got to forgive seven times seven"? No, I say 70 times seven. That's why we pray that every day. Every day. Because every day, right? But you don't feel the debt that you owe other people, right? Were you ever angry that you owe people too much? That the debt is imbalanced? No. If somebody serves you too much, somebody's serving in the church too much, and you're just taking, right? You ever feel bad? No. But you will feel bad if you serve too much, right? Why is that? You get angry at yourself that you're loved too much and you don't love them back? I will tell you this, we get very angry if we don't get enough love. Very angry. Why? Because we feel entitled to it. Husbands are commanded to love their wives. Commanded. We're going to talk more about this. It's not because you deserve it, wives. Because you don't. You're not entitled to your husband's love. I'm sorry. Wives, likewise. Husbands are not entitled to your respect. God commands it. That's why God commands wives to respect their husbands. Do you honestly think husbands honestly earned all that respect? Absolutely not. They don't deserve, half the respect you give them. But it's a command. Now, you think there's a difference? That difference is as wide as the ocean, as high as the mountains. If you are a Christian and you understand about your debt, you understand about entitlement. And if you don't understand that, you will never be grateful when you are served. I love knowing that so that I could be grateful when somebody serves. Because I'm not entitled to it. I appreciate it. I appreciate it when he does, like, "My wife, she's the greatest thing sliced bread. It's better than all the wives out there." I love that. Right? "Oh, I don't deserve her." Okay. And I love to talk to any guy talking about how we don't deserve our wives. You think that makes a difference? Whether you think you deserve better? You fantasize about being married to another wife? You struggle, wanting to be, "That guy does this, and, I got, like, the short end of the stick. I married you." You think people are not wired that way? They are ungrateful. You know why? Because they don't get the enormity, how undeserving they are. I struggle every day with this, and as I should. Hey, how's your day? Better than I deserve. That should be your comment. Right? When I heard that one day, right, when I was at Sovereign Grace, I was like, wow, what a wonderful reminder. How's your day at home? Every morning you go to God and say, God, yesterday was much better than I deserve. No matter how much you think the imbalance is going the other way compared to the imbalance, okay, that God has forgiven, it is minuscule. We love, our affections are, our desires are there because we receive love. It's just a law of God. You receive mercy? Well, I don't know if my husband loves me. Well, because maybe you don't really forgive him. Maybe you kind of like, you know, poke him. Yeah, you know, compare him. You compare your wife to another wife. You start doing that, you're not merciful because you don't understand the immensity and the enormity of your own debt. 1 John 4:8, anyone who does not love does not know God. How can you love if you have not loved, been loved? Which means what? You love because you have received enormous mercy. That's what that is. Love, mercy, forgiveness is the currency. I mean, love is the currency. So that means you are able to forgive because you have received what? Love. And how does Scripture define love? Jesus going to the cross. As he said, well, this is, you know, like the epitome of, you know what it says? One who would lay down his life for a friend. Wow. In this is the love of God was manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Right? I love reminding myself that I am not entitled. I love reminding myself of that. That there's a God who paid this enormous debt. And if God who paid this enormous debt, if you think he doesn't love you because you're having a difficult time, I love reminding myself, if he can forgive me for all that debt, I can trust him for today. I love knowing that. I love knowing that I get to be grateful. I get to be able to love back. If I just would stop being so entitled. I love knowing that. I love reminding myself of that. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, meaning everything, keep loving one another earnestly. How? Since love covers a multitude of sins. How do you do that? Well, you do it by canceling the debt today in prayer, reminding yourself that you are a wealthy person who has an enormous amount of currency. Oh, and by the way, that you pass all that debt along to God, right, for his adjudication. If he wants to save him, if he wants to, you know, give it to him, you know, at the judgment day, it's up to God. Yours is to love. And how do we do that? Well, we show hospitality. Well, if I show hospitality too much, I'm going to feel bad. You know, people can come in, mess things up, break stuff, you know, right on my tables, right? Right? Who's going to clean up after you guys all leave? Well, cost money to be hospitable. You know, call somebody, take people out. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about this next week.
debt-inducing activity is love for the sake of creating affection, not just for yourself, but for God. You come as his emissary. Talk a little bit more next week. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God. You're a manager of the currency of love. Go and cover down on sin. Go and create debt, okay? And then create affection. Point to God. Okay. God's very grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. You know what that means? You know, I love knowing this. When you serve by the strength that God provides, that means what? You know the reason why they don't owe you? Why you don't owe me for being your pastor? You know why? I'm a rich man. I love reminding myself how rich I am. And I get to be generous with my richness. There's no greater life, right? But if you're like being all chintzy about working and serving, you're just saying, I'm poor. I don't understand love. But here's the thing. That is a confession. That's a place of start. It's not a place of guilt. Say, God, open my eyes to my own sins. That's where it begins. Right? That's where it begins. Because he didn't just forgive you your debt. He poured everything. He emptied the bank. He didn't hold anything back. Now, when I say empty the bank, that was an investment. Now, he got a greater return. That's just God. We'll talk more about that later. So that's what it means. Strength, right? When you're getting strength, but you're not thinking about this, you're not going to get strength. Seriously. If you don't remind yourself, right, of the enormity of your sins, your debt, you can't get strength. That's why blessed are the what? Poor in spirit. Why is that? Because if you're not poor in spirit is like, you know what? God saved this mangy, just this despicable man, right? From my life of misery. I'm so undeserving of his love. That's poor in spirit. Right? Now, if you're not thinking that, you can't get strength. You can't. I've never seen anybody, right, who's not humble, right, who has strength to serve. God gives grace to the humble. He does. I love knowing that. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. He's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. That means if you're not out there, how do you love? If it's the currency. You love by what? Creating debt. Right? And then having God. Right? And being blessed by it. Because it's not even a debt. They don't owe you nothing. That's the thing. That's what love is. You think that, you know, you think people don't understand that? Talk to your children. And you know what I'm talking about. When parents get older, right? You know, after all that I've done for you. Okay, here comes the debt collection time. Right? Burdened. Like they didn't get their payment. Oh, you got your payment. Or you didn't get your payment. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. If you are a neutral person, you don't love God. If you don't owe anybody nothing and nobody owes you nothing, you don't love God.
And if you don't struggle with it, you're probably not a Christian. You're probably not a Christian. I'm not saying that. That's what God says. Now, and here's what Jesus wants you to do. He wants you to go, oh, I should be scared by now. I should fear God. I should fear God. Because you don't understand the gravity of your own sins. You think God just goes around waving his magic wand to forgive sin. No. You think that God sent his most prized treasure, his only beloved son, to die. Just for what? Just to die. And that's what it means to be unconditional. We love that word, unconditional. Here we're going to see. No, love has a purpose. So does forgiveness, and we're going to see that, okay, here in a little bit. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must love his brother. We're going to talk a lot more about that next week. Matthew 18, 28, 30. All right, this is that parable. We're going to read this, the beginning portion, but I just want to read this portion of this. This is about the parable of the unforgiving servant. All right, so here's a king that owed him, or their servant owed the king 10,000 talents. That's 200,000 years of labor, right, for a typical, at that time, a typical day labor. And this person, and that servant also was owed 100 denarii, which is about 4 months of work, compared to 200,000 years of work. Notice this garnishment idea is coming into play now. Why do you think the king is so upset? Because that's not the servant's debt. Right? But let's take a look at it. We're going to look at that more next week anyway. It says, but when that same servant that was forgiven that 10,000 talents, the 200,000 years worth of debt, went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is about 4 months' wages. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. Right? Isn't that so? We read this and go, oh, that's like other people. Isn't that you? That every one of you are like that. And you'll be like that tomorrow. When you get that, they're going to offend you, say something to you, or not say something to you. Maybe you didn't get love like the way you want it. Maybe you got neglected. Maybe you didn't get called. Hey, we had a little meeting, but you weren't involved in it. You know? Or maybe you got whatever it might be. Whatever slight you might have felt. What he's saying is pay what you owe. But that owe is to God now. You know what I mean? That owe is to God. You talk as if, with respect, that is not your debt. Okay? You don't talk as if that's your debt. Because it isn't. So now let's just continue. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me. That's that same Greek word. You know where you see that Greek word? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know what it says? Love is patient. Same Greek word. What is that servant saying? Hey, have patience with me is saying, hey, can you love me? Can you love me? And of course, he's saying, no, I can't love you right now. Anyways, let's continue. Have patience with me and I will pay you. So here's a servant that understands the enormity of his debt. He just needs a little bit more time. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay that debt. Has no inclination of his own debt, and that all that other debt truly belongs to God or to the king. That's what that parable is saying, isn't it? It's saying what Romans 12 is saying. It's saying what Deuteronomy is saying is, look, that is not your debt. Here's the thing. You should relish at that. You should love this idea because it frees you. It'll free you. Knowing this, that God will execute according to his justice, should give you comfort. Not in a vengeful way. Just knowing, oh, you know what, that's not my dad. Oh, you know, I'm a little hurt, you know, but that's not my dad. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient. It leads with it. You know what patient means in the context of Matthew 18? Look, forgive others their debt. Be generous with your forgiveness. That's what love is. But if you're quick to demand, if you harbor in your own bitterness and you are okay with that, what is God saying? You need to be fearful of that. Because either you didn't have that debt forgiven, and you need to get that debt forgiven, by the way. You need to go to God and beg for that debt to be forgiven. Or you can become one of those postmoderns. Well, what is that anyway? Well, your debt is this debt and that debt. You can play that game, or just be humble. Say, God, I don't deserve nothing in this life. My debt is great. Romans 2:4, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience? Which is what? All that is summarized. That's the definition of love, by the way. Do you presume on the riches of his love? Because that's, these are, love is a summarized word. It's a aggregate word that describes these attributes of God. Do you presume on the riches of his love, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to what? Love is patient, and love is what? Kind. Right? So there's a purpose to God's love. It is meant to lead us to repentance. It's the idea that we pour out love, there's a purpose. We don't just say, ooh, that's conditional, that's conditional. No. It's conditional, folks. It's meant to lead you to repentance. Unless it isn't. And here's what repentance is. Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. Here's the gospel. Saying, time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. What's the gospel? The kingdom of God is near. We get to be under the king, to live in his kingdom with kingdom people. Oneness is the goal of the gospel. Oneness. So turning away from the world, right? To being one with the world, to agree with the world. Oh, we hate to disagree with the world, don't we? Hate it when other people look at us funny. You know? It's just so hard to believe that Jesus said, right, the world's going to hate us. You know, because they just, because we want to be so light. You know what Jesus says? How can you believe if you exchange what? Glories with one another. How can you believe in God if other people's opinions are so important to you? God's love is meant to lead you to this affection, right? To draw you to this oneness. God isn't telling you to forgive just to be unconditional technically. God's teaching you to forgive so that you understand what brings about oneness. There's no such thing as oneness, folks, without great mercy. Being given and being received. It creates, because it's the idea, right? That's how, if you want, right? That's how people change. Mark, that's what Mark 1:15 was saying. It is the idea, that's how we come into the kingdom. That's how we build the kingdom. It's the invitation of the gospel. If you want to be closer to your husband, forgive more. If you want to be closer to your children, forgive more. If you want to be closer to your parents, forgive more. If you want to be closer to your husband, forgive more. Your siblings, forgive more. I would also say, because love is a currency, right, of the gospel, right? Love more. Love means covering a multitude of sin. Use love to cover debt. Lose love to cover debt. Just love them. And you'll begin to see miracles happen. Miracles. Affections being stirred. I love knowing and trusting in that. You can't give what you have not received. You cannot give what you have not received. And you don't receive because you don't ask. When you go and say, forgive me my debt as I forgive others' debts, you know, do other people have to apologize to you to forgive them? And it has to be a good one? No, you don't. Does God not forgive us because we forgot to apologize? God has forgiven more of my sins that I'm not even aware about than any sin that I've brought before him. But does that mean that I take it for granted not to go to God and ask for forgiveness? When you wrong somebody, what did Jesus say? If somebody has something against you, go and reconcile and then bring your gift. It's important that we ask God for forgiveness. It's not for him. He's going to forgive either way. It's for you. Because if you don't make much of sin, you can't make much of the cross. Coming to God every day, if you're struggling with prayer, you're struggling with entitlement. That's why you struggle with prayer. If all you pray is, God, man, God, forgive me. I'm such an unforgiver. I'm so lacking in mercy. God, would you open my eyes? Would you just, God, what an ungrateful sin. If you just did that, anybody and everybody who loves the Lord must do that every day. Okay, let's summarize. To pray, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, is to pray to see all the debts against us in light of our own enormous debt with gratitude and freedom and roll over the debt payment to God. God, whatever anybody owes me, it's not mine. It's yours to do as you please. To pray, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, is to express our trust in God, to have his love poured into our hearts as we specifically commit and move to cancel debt so as to lead others to repentance and closer to God. You know how we help other people get closer to God? By forgiving them. Isn't that amazing? And you think that forgiving your wife, forgiving your husband, forgiving your children, forgiving your parents, your siblings, your friends, that's enormous, folks. That's enormous. You know? Every day you start new, you know what? For the last month, you know, like I've been very generous to this person, and that person don't even lift a finger to invite me over to his place. Well, you know what? Today, let's start new. All the record of debt canceled. Let's start new. Is that easy? No, it's not easy. That's why we pray. You know why you struggle? Because you don't pray this. That's why you don't do it. That's why we stop. You can take people out. But if there's an imbalance, we what? We punch. We're out of here. Every day, you got to go back. Cancel debt. And why do we do that? You know, by the way, that parable in Matthew 18, it's about your brother, right? It says, forgive them from your heart. You know how you do it from your heart? You got to think about your own debt. You got to think about the love of God. You got to understand where your heart is. If you're your own God taking offense at how dare you? Okay, you know? God, look at this. Look how messed up this is, God. I need your help. Every day, I love knowing that when we do that, He just pours love. He just pours love. You know? I just love. Let's pray. God, you're so amazing. God, Lord, we just pray in the light of your grace that you would open our eyes every day. Would you help us to pray every day this, to think about our debt. Every time we're hurt, God, we're expose us and give us, God, room, God, to be generous, to be merciful. God, because you have loved us, now we can now go and forgive. And God, you have given us all the currency we need. God, we have all the money necessary, God, to forgive others, people, their debts. And God, we do this, of course, on your behalf, because that is not our debt. That is your debt. And thank you, God, that you use us in this way. So God, as we just pray now, as we think about all the people, God, even our spouses, our children, our parents, just pray, God, that we would just cancel all the debt. Start fresh today. Today, God, would you do that? Would you help us, God, to start new today? God, because you deserve it. Because you have forgiven our enormous debt. God, you have sent your Son, God, your only prized treasure in this universe. And you've given him to us as a payment for our debt. So God, help us to do likewise. Help us to learn, God, the joy of forgiveness. In Jesus' name.